Turn to Luke chapter 15. Mel, do you singing and me preaching? We got the old folks' day. And good to see you here, Brian. There's a statement, and I say this to all the veterans. How many are veterans? Raise your hand. All right, Brian. If you can read, thank a teacher. If you're reading in English, thank a soldier. There's a lot to that. You might think about that one a little while. You're not reading in German, and you're not reading in Chinese, and you're not reading in English. Oh, yeah, you are reading in English. Look with me, if you will, to chapter 15 of the book of Luke. This is a chapter on rejoicing. And it's a beautiful, beautiful passage, and I love it. I'm going to read about 25 verses, if you'd like to follow along with me. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this, singular, this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Father, we love your word. We love this passage showing your great love and what you rejoice in. And I pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach it that only you can give. I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply the scriptures to every heart and life that's in this room. And I pray, God, that you would get the honor and glory of changing some lives, doing some miracles. I ask you for all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look back at the very first verse. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Jesus is getting a crowd of the sinners. It's publicans, tax collectors. They're the most hated people in Israel. Yet these tax collectors are going out and listening to Jesus. And Jesus actually eats with them. He sits down at a table with them, which a big righteous Jew, Pharisee, would not do at all. He wouldn't walk into their house. But the publican sinners are coming there. And look who got upset about it. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. You know, God doesn't like murmuring. Are you a murmurer? He doesn't like you. He loves you, like you to quit murmuring.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I like that. You all admitted to it. Thank you. He doesn't like murmuring.
That's right.
He doesn't like you complaining all the time and always finding something wrong. But here are these religious people, and they can't stand it because he doesn't listen to them. He doesn't follow their rules. He doesn't care about their criticism. And it said here, the scribes and the Pharisees murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now that's their accusation. This man receives sinners. He actually sits down at a table and eats with the scum of our society. And so, Jesus said, the scripture says, and he spake this parable. He spake this parable unto them. You know, years ago when I was a young preacher, I thought that it was, the first one was the only part of the parable about the lost sheep. But I think it's one parable in three parts. What is what makes sense to me? Now you take it and let's look at the first part of it. Let's look at the lost sheep. Man, we have the great songs of the 99. We have other songs that are filled with this, and so many times here is the scripture telling us how missionaries go out and preachers go out and how they suffer persecution. Why? To get the gospel out. Well, he gave us something we could understand. Here's a shepherd. Now, I don't know about you. I've never raised sheep, but they look pretty dumb to me. Some of the goats I've seen are really dumb. Got the horns on them, and they're sticking through a wire fence, and they can't get back out because they're caught because they thought the grass outside the fence was better than the grass inside. You ever done that? Think the grass outside's better than the grass inside? Well, all of us, we think like that. We begin to murmur and complain. That's how his sheep got lost. It's stupid. It was just wandering off on its own, thinking, I'm all right, I'm okay, no problem here. Wandered down this little creek right here in valley and just eating up the berries or whatever, and the rest of the flock went on home. And a shepherd, he starts counting them. He starts calling them by name. I don't really name my animals, but I have a neighbor that does. And every little goat that she raises with a bottle, I want you to know that's her baby. She's got them all named. And I couldn't recognize one from the other, but she can tell you which one's which. And I'll bet you this shepherd could too. He knew, well, it's old bell ringer that's not in. That dumb thing is always wandering off. Now I've got to go back out. I've got to put these 99 in here. Why in the world would he do that? Well, if you let one get away every day, it's not going to be long. All your profit's gone. You got to keep those sheep going. You got to get something out of their wool. You got to be able to sell the young. You got to be able to make a profit, or you're not a shepherd for very long. It's practical good sense. Okay, I got the 99 in the fold. I've got one dumb brute out there that doesn't know the way home. And you know, that's the problem. This sheep would have been with the fold if it knew how to get there. He didn't want to be out there all alone where there were wolves and dogs and coyotes and bear and who knows telling whatever else. It did not know the way home. It was out there because of its own ignorance, and it did not know. So he goes out, and he hunts, and he goes back where they'd been, and he looks to see if he can find it, and he finds it. Instead of letting it follow him or tying a rope around his neck, he throws it over his shoulder and walking on home, rejoicing. He's rejoicing. Isn't it amazing how little it takes to make us rejoice? I mean, really. If you get the right kind of attitude, you can rejoice in almost anything. But here's something here. This shepherd is, I found my sheep. And he carries it home and puts it with the fold, and he tells his friends about it. Hey, you know, that dumb sheep got caught again. It's back out there. It can't stay with the fold. I got him. Look, I've got him. Praise the Lord. And it said, tremendous verse. Verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise, like this shepherd rejoicing over his found sheep, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 persons, just persons, which need no repentance. He's making a statement. He said, here's the parable. Here's what happened. Now let me tell you something. You see how that guy rejoices when he gets his sheep and brings him back home? In heaven, it's that same way. We've got 99 in the fold, safe in the fold, and yet God is concerned with that one sinner out there on the block. He is concerned with that one lost soul out there that has not been found. He's concerned with that one that doesn't know the way home. And he sends out his messengers to tell the old story over and over and over again till finally some light dawns in a lost sheep and it finds its way back home. He said there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. That's beautiful. Now I want you to notice one thing about that. That shepherd would have never found him if he didn't go out. You got to go where they are. The sheep wasn't going to find his way home by himself. He had to go where they are. All the lost people in the world aren't going to be walking and knocking on your door to ask you, tell me about Jesus. Some of you street preachers are going to preach and somebody's going to hear something and they're going to say, I like to know the story. I want to know the way. Some of you are going to be walking just down into a grocery store and there's going to be somebody right there that you're going to be able to touch. And God's going to rejoice. And some of you are going to be like me, just going to church every so often and go into a church and sit back at the back of a pretty big auditorium and have the Holy Spirit nail my hide to the wall. I literally sat there and thought that preacher has to be talking to my wife. How did he know me like he knew me? It was for me. It was clear to me that I don't know of anybody else in this 500 people that this is for, but it's for me. And it was. I don't know how many other people got saved or surrendered to preach or changed their lives that day, but that day I did. Somebody took an ignorant old boy and told him the way home. And that's why they're rejoicing. Well, he didn't stop right there. He said, well, let me explain it to some others of you. He said, there was a woman, and she had 10 pieces of silver. Now, this is not a penny. A penny was a day's wage, but a piece of silver is a whole lot bigger than a penny. A whole lot bigger than your day's wage. She had her own money. She had her own wealth. 10 silver coins. And she lost one of them. She went in one day to look at her money, her bank account, her under her mattress, or wherever she kept it. And she said, I've lost one. Where is the piece I've lost? Now, maybe she can't blame it on anybody else. It was her. She's the one that handled it. She's the one that left it out. She's the one that dropped it down through the crack in the floor. She's the one that lost the money. But what does she do? She says, I need that money. Do you need money? The reason why you work for that jerk of a boss is because you need money. The reason why you work 2 and 3 jobs to keep a family going and to raise a bunch of kids is because you need money. Your reason why that you work is because these kids go into hospitals and they break legs and they break arms and all sorts of problems. I've been out of debt at times, out of debt. And Eddie will drop off of a fence, break his arm. I gotta go pay a doctor. They aren't cheap. So you lose something like that. She lost her piece of money and it meant something to her. It wasn't like you lose a dime and it rolls down under the maid. Oh well, who cares? It wasn't like that. This is 1/10 of her income, 1/10 of her savings, 1/10 of what she had. It was a sizable thing. I had a friend tell me just recently, he said, my 401k, which is his retirement, he said, I lost 1/3 of it in just a very short time. I said that a lot of people lost all of it in that same short time. Be thankful for that you only lost 1/3. What did he do? She swept the house diligently. She turned over every rug. She moved everything to find where that coin had rolled off in and got caught. And you know what she did? She found it. And she got happy. Where she'd been sad, now she's happy. And she's rejoicing. Oh, I didn't lose it after all. I've got it. It's here, right here with me. Praise the Lord. And she calls her friends and tells them, you know what? That piece of coin, that piece of silver that I lost, I found it. Rejoice with me. Same thing. Now look on down at verse 10. Likewise, same word he used before. I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If you didn't understand it the first time, who do the angels behold? The face of God. It's telling you right here in verse 10, like this woman, after she searched diligently and found her piece of silver, was rejoicing, just like that. God in heaven, the heavens ring and they're rejoicing because of one sinner that repents. And then he said there was a certain man had 2 sons. A certain man had 2 sons. The older one, he gets the place. The younger one gets the portion. I don't know what it would have been. Could have been 1/3. It could have been half. I don't know. Might be 1/5. I'm not sure. And the younger one, he's always been in the shadow because that older boy was a hard worker. That older boy, he paid attention to things. That older boy, he did what the father wanted him to do. That older boy, he was there making sure things ran right. So the younger boy was just sort of along for the ride lots of times. He said, I'm not going to get anything out of this. It's never going to be mine. And he said, Dad, give me my inheritance. Whatever I got coming, let me have it. I'm going to go into the world and make a fortune. You ever said that? Oh yeah, you said it. You said it in a number of different ways. I can take care of myself and I can do better than the others are doing. I can do a better job than so and so. He took his money and that made him pretty flush. I mean, he got a pretty good inheritance. And he said, wow, this will never run out. You ever thought that? You ever get a good piece of change and just put it in your bank account? I'm going to leave it right there just for the rainy day. I'm going to just leave it right there and I'm not going to spend it. And then 6 months or a year later, you don't have a dime. You spent it all. Well, that's what he did. He took it and he went out and it said riotous living. I would think that was drinking and girls. riotous living, drinking and girls, and friends. You ever notice what money does? You get lots of friends if you have money. People want to go to you because you give good parties. You take them out to good steaks. They want to go with you because you dress nice and you look good and you just give them things. You can have a lot of friends with a lot of money. And you know, one day his money went out. He's hungry. He doesn't know what to do. He's not trained to do anything. He's not no way to make anything. And he goes to a man somewhat like his father who owns land and has crops and animals. And said, I'm hungry. And the man said, okay. Go out there in the field and feed the swine. I'll take care of you. I wonder what a little Jewish boy thought about feeding swine. I'll bet he's humbled. He's humbled. And while he's sitting there feeding the swine, I don't know about you, but I was born on a farm up in Central Texas, and I know what pig slop is. It wasn't exactly beautiful. It was not appetizing. I didn't say, oh, wish I had some of that. Never in my life have I thought that. I don't even like what some of you call good food. If it's green, I question it. I let the cows eat the greens and I eat the cows. He looked down at what those pigs were eating and he was so hungry he would have eaten it. You want to see somebody hungry? You look at some of these prisoners of war that have been 5, 6, and 7 years starved. I had a man from the Bataan Death March, came my senior year in college. He's about 5'8 or 10, about 180 pounds. He was in the Bataan Death March. When they captured him, he was over 6 foot and weighed 250 pounds. He said his wife just fed him. She did everything she could to feed him, trying to get him fat, trying to get him back. But buddy, he lost his height. And he lost his weight and he couldn't regain it. You tell me you can't lose weight? I know you can lose weight. Did you ever see a fat prisoner of war? Oh yeah, you could lose weight. I don't want to put myself through what a prisoner of war does to lose the weight. But can't happen. He's hungry. He's hungry and he looks down at that slop. Those husks. Things the people didn't want to eat that these pigs are eating on. And he comes to himself. That's a beautiful phrase. Yeah. I wish some of you today would come to yourself.
Amen.
Wake up!
Yes.
Wake up! Where am I? What am I eating? What am I doing? How am I living? Wake up! He came to himself. And a light dawned inside his head. He said, you know, back home where I grew up, my daddy's servants were treated better than this. That's a revelation. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to repent. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my daddy, I don't deserve to be your son. I'm not asking you to take me back. I'd just like to be one of your workers. Your workers do better than I do. I'm going to go home. And he got up. He who had left voluntarily of his own will, he who shook his face in the face of God, he who lifted his hand even against his father and his brother, he woke up. And he headed back towards home. And there was an old man. Watching. Every day, watching. He'd walk out there and think, wonder where my boy is. Wonder what he's doing. I wonder if he's still alive.
Yeah.
I sure would love to see him. And he sees this skinny boy shuffling along in rags. headed up to the place, and he watched him. And he said, "That looks like my boy. Oh, he's been used badly, but that looks like my boy." And he ran to his son.
Thank you, Lord.
He ran to his son. The boy didn't get a chance to say anything at first. His dad just hugged him and loved him.
Yes.
And then the boy got his speech out. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Would you make me a servant?" His daddy didn't even hear him. Oh, ridiculous. "Get my best robe. I mean, I want the one with all the frills and the jewels and the one made by that Mohammedan tent maker, you know, when he came through. I want the good robe. I want the best robe. Put it on him."
Amen.
He said, "Somebody got a good ring? I want a fancy ring."
Yes.
"Put it on him." They put shoes on his feet. He was barefoot. They put shoes on his feet. He's robed like a son. He's got the ring of a son, not a servant. He's got shoes on his feet. He doesn't look like a servant. He looks like a son.
Yes.
I said, "Daddy, forgive me." Daddy said, "You know that fatted calf, that one we've been feeding corn for about 3 months? Boy, she's fat. Kill her.
Yes.
We're going to have a barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, we are going to eat not green.
That's right.
Steaks.
Yeah.
We're going to have those steaks, and they're coming in, and let's have a party." And they begin to rejoice.
Yes.
"For a shepherd, one found sheep out of 99. He was not satisfied until he brought the 100th one home. For a shepherd, one found sheep signals rejoicing." The woman had 90% of her money. She ought to have been satisfied with that, don't you think? 90% of her money. Only 10% she'd lost. She wasn't satisfied.
That's right.
But when she found it, she rejoiced. For a woman, that one piece of silver meant rejoicing.
Amen.
And for a father that only had two sons, one found son means rejoicing. And what he's telling you in this whole chapter, up to this point, is the will of God, the love of God, the salvation of God, and how God looks down from heaven and sees your sorry condition and sorry state and wants to run and hug you, wants to put a robe on you, wants to put a ring on you, wants to party with you, if you will. These three parts to this parable reveal the love of God. They reveal rejoicing. This whole chapter is rejoice, 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 till you get to the end with the older son. I mean, the shepherd's rejoicing, God's rejoicing. The woman's rejoicing, God's rejoicing. The father's rejoicing, God's rejoicing. In the presence of the angels of heaven, there is rejoicing. God stands up and said, "Yes."
Amen.
You ever had something you really wanted? Really wanted. Couldn't have. And then you got it? Wow. You think, "I'll never get that." And then God gives it to you. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now let me tell you something. That sheep was lost by its own stupidity. It didn't know the way home. It didn't want to be out where it was. It was not comfortable being alone out in the mountains. It didn't want to hear the dogs. It didn't want to hear the coyotes. It didn't want to hear the mountain lion.
Right.
It wanted to be in the fold where there were 99 others around it, where it got some comfort. It didn't know the way home. I say to you, my Christian friend, don't let them be ignorant. Don't let anybody in your family be ignorant.
Amen.
Don't let anybody you work with be ignorant. Get in the business of informing people how to be saved, no matter whether they listen to you or not. Quit sitting back and saying, God just going to take care of it all. Whatever will be, will be. Get out and inform people.
Amen.
That coin, it had intrinsic value. You know, all the TV, they're always trying to sell you gold and silver. Why? It's valuable in and of itself. It's not like paper money. Paper's just whatever you think it is. And it goes up and it goes down. And you see gold going up and down. But what that is, that's the paper money working back and forth. Gold really does have an intrinsic value. But the trouble is right now, gold's so high, if you buy it right now, you can't do anything but lose. Do you know what? That coin could not be spent. Couldn't be used. Couldn't buy any groceries. You couldn't pay the rent. You couldn't help your family out. You couldn't buy a donkey. As long as that coin is lost, it is useless. Though it might have tremendous intrinsic value, it is absolutely useless. If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to know something. You're useless. You're not worth much. You can't be used. You're not in the will of God. You're not listening for His will. You don't want to hear His word. If you're lost here today and you're sitting in this room right here, you're worthless. You need to be found by God so He can put His Spirit in you. You need to be forgiven by God so He can change your life.
Amen.
You need to have God move upon you and do a miracle in your life. You need to come to yourself. That boy was lost. He was lost to the love of his daddy. I love my family. I love keeping them together. I love every bit of the time that I get to spend with them. When you get old, a lot of your friends have died already. We got a 55th reunion for Burbank this year, and they've already sent me a list of all that died. I found some of them that died. I didn't know who died. I'm still alive. That's the gift of God.
Amen.
God Almighty can do something with you. God Almighty can change your life. God Almighty can change your dress and your circumstances. God Almighty can take that sorrowful, depressed life and make it a happy, joyous, victorious life for Him. He can change your soul if you'll do what this boy did. Come to yourself and repent. Take a look at where you are and repent. There's a passage of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's a statement about God. He doesn't want you to perish. The reason why He brought you here today is He doesn't want you to perish. Somebody invited you. Somebody brought you. You rode along with mom and dad, whatever. God Almighty has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He'd like to love you. He'd like to make you rich in spiritual things. He'd like to change your life from eating at the hog pen to eating in the Father's house. And He will. He will. If you'll repent. You got to confess your sin. You got to say, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And let God put the robe on you. Why don't you repent today? Why don't you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and say, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I've heard your name. I believe what you said. He'll change your life. He will change your life. I'm going to sing just as I am. This altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart in any way, you do what the Lord told you to do.